Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is the Grapevine at SaverLife.com, and it is really the end of harvest for wineries around New York State, except for the ice wine grapes, as I mentioned over the last couple of weeks. Those will hang out there until we get a freeze, a hard freeze, a very hard freeze, 18 degrees or colder for 6 hours or more, which is not in the forecast for this week. Probably in December. Sometimes in November, occasionally we have to wait till January, but most of the grapes are in. And I was reading Gene Pierce's Glenora Gazette this morning, and he noted that the harvester, the grape press, these are machines that are in the $100,000 range each, and up. I have no idea what the ones that Glenora uses cost, but I just want to give you a sense that they are extremely expensive. Might be 150 or more. I'm not sure, but they're a lot of money, and they use them for 2 months out of the year, and for 10 other months, all that money just sits there gathering dust. Breaking down, getting rusty or whatever, and it amazes me how much equipment in the wine industry is used for such a short period of time. And for some wineries, it's even a shorter period of time. If they are focusing on just vinifera, maybe only Riesling and some Chardonnay, very focused wineries, they'll use equipment. They probably don't have a harvester for one thing, but the grape press that they use, might be 11 months out of the year that it is not used. So the wine business is very capital expensive, and that's one of the reasons that so many wineries share equipment and collaborate with each other, and that really makes a world of difference. And sometimes that equipment breaks down mid-harvest, then you've got to have some friends who will do some of that pressing for you, and knowing that in the future you may have to do some pressing for them, or maybe they already have helped you out in the past. But the Finger Lakes, from talking to the winemakers and the winery owners, this is different in the Finger Lakes. The sense of collaboration is really remarkable, and one of the reasons that the winemakers love to be here and work in this environment. So most of that collaboration, in terms of equipment and some of the tastings that winemakers do, and it's all out of public eye. People don't know what's happening, you might hear about it through the winemakers, but otherwise you probably don't even know that that's going on. And it just makes me prouder to live in the Finger Lakes and be a part of this region that has this this sense of collaboration. Also, Gene Pierce mentioned that Glenora is going to be using Vino Shipper for their wine, and that means that they're going to be able to ship to 39 states. They're going to do this at Knapp also. And this is a company that I think they have, I'm not sure how it works, but they have ways to ship to states that are some of the more difficult ones to ship to. Again, 39 states is pretty good. A lot of people still believe that with changes in the law a decade ago now, that wineries can ship to every state. Really couldn't be further from the truth. Every state has different regulations. Every state charges a winery for shipping to that state for the approval to do it. And it's, it's not a $25 registration fee. It's hundreds of dollars, might even one of them I heard was like $500. You got to ship a lot of wine to a state to justify $500 right off the top to the state. And you know, that's probably an annual fee. So many wineries don't ship to that many states. There's some, Dr. Frank ships to lots of states around that 39 number, 40. So as Gene mentioned, that's 78% of the United States, just in terms of the number of states, maybe not the number of people in those states, but again, if you're thinking about sending someone some wine from New York State, you should check with the wineries that you enjoy and maybe that you heard about or heard me recommend, and see if they ship to the state that your loved ones live in. And then if you have trouble finding that, I have a spreadsheet that I got to update. It's a year old, of where which states each winery ships to. And so I can search that pretty easily to figure out which wineries might ship to the state you're interested in. So email me, michael@saverlife.com, if there's a specific state or two that you're looking for. And there's some wineries that really don't ship much at all. You know, within New York State, they just maybe don't do the volume to deal with these other states. Maybe they just, you know, don't want to deal with those extra regulations and just sell from the winery, maybe through distributors, and maybe ship within New York State. So I say this partly because I want people to realize that it is not to get upset with wineries that don't ship to the state you want to ship to. It's challenging to do. It takes staff. It takes software. It takes a lot of money to be able to ship to quite a few other states. So don't get frustrated with them. Just look for another one that does. And again, email me if you want some ideas on which wineries might ship. It's michael@saverlife.com. If you know of things going on you don't hear me mention, send me a note. If you are perhaps visiting some wineries and restaurants, etc., have some really good food or service, I'd love to hear about it. And, michael@saverlife.com. Also, this week, if you follow some of the people in the wine industry on Facebook, for example, you will have, and maybe you don't read the New York Times, you will have heard about the New York Times expose, a long one. It's titled "The Wine World's Most Elite Circle Has a Sexual Harassment Problem." The Court of Master Sommeliers confers high honors, but many women candidates say they've paid a steep price. And this is, I have to say, it's a depressing article. There are 21 women who've come forward, and immense bravery to do that. This is, the Court of Master Sommeliers is different than a lot of industries, although, you know, maybe I was thinking about Harvey Weinstein. You know, he was one of the moguls, one of the very top ones that you really had to work through if you wanted to make it in the movie world. But the Court of Master Sommeliers is small. Only 155 have passed the exam here in the United States since like 1979, when it was founded here in the U.S. Chapter was founded at that point. There's only 300 and some around the world that have ever passed the exam, and so the people who are helping to train for this exam, the people who are administering this exam, wield a tremendous amount of power, because there's no other way. you can take the exam again if you fail, but often it's some of those same examiners. And so of the 155 who have passed this exam here in the United States, 131 of them are women. If you've seen the movies Sam, you should. They're fascinating. They're really well done, and a great window into the kind of studying that it takes to become a master sommelier. And I also want to mention, if you follow Christopher Bates, who's the only master sommelier here in upstate New York, he put something out on this very quickly, encouraging more women to step forward if they have been sexually harassed within the Court of Master Sommeliers, and really acknowledging the bravery of the ones who have. And the article from the New York Times is, it's a damning article. There are, well, key people from the Court of Master Sommeliers who have already resigned, as is kind of typical in these situations and probably recommended by their lawyers. They have said that, you know, these things didn't happen, or they were consensual, or, you know, in some cases, in some, it's, you know, some points, perhaps those that might be the case. But when you have a pattern like this, it is, and when you have people in power, that is, I think, you know, a whole nother level of scrutiny for these kinds of situations, and the Me Too movement helped inspire this, but also, I think toward the end of the article in the New York Times, they mentioned that that within the Court of Master Sommeliers there was a movement by the younger members to diversify the organization, to encourage more women to apply, more people of all races, and really, what was a very white organization, to diversify it. And when they started to use the existing female master sommeliers as examples of their diversity, and these were some of the ones who had been sexually harassed. I think one said, you know, that was kind of the last straw that the court needed to come to a reckoning for what some of its members, and really board members, the key members, top members of this Court of Master Sommeliers. So it's, again, kind of a depressing article to see what you know, our fellow human beings are capable of, you know, I'm glad they came forward. It will help, as have other women coming forward in the past in other industries. It will help, you know, future examples of this, which I guess are inevitable, that perhaps have not come forward yet. It will give them the support that will make them come forward and really sort of recapture their power from you know, organizations and people like this who have abused that power, and it's disturbing to read. There's no way around it, especially when it, you know, sort of hits at the heart of you know, this industry that I've worked with for decades, you know, I think it's happening slowly, but there are more and more female winemakers now in the Finger Lakes. There are a few more, black winemakers around the country. That is, you know, again, it's a relatively tiny number. Diversification is something that, you know, there are, I guess, two ways to look at it. One, it's the right thing to do. It should be more diversified. But also, you know, the industry is missing out on the skills of some amazing people, female, black, Latinx. There's all kinds of people with great skills that could help improve the industry, and they are not in the industry generally right now. So it's the wine industry has a lot of work to do from the top to the bottom, really. And this article really shows the corruption at the top. So read the article, watch the Somme movies, and learn more about the wine world. And this kind of article is going to help make some changes and help them happen faster than way faster than they otherwise would have. So it seems like 2020 is piling on in terms of bad news, but this case, this is something that's been going on for a couple of decades, and it's not new. It's the news about it, the accusations coming to light are new, but the things that were going on are not new. And I gotta applaud the women who have come forward. And I think one of the things that Christopher Bates said in his post was that something to the effect, people in power, but also fellow Somms need to watch out for each other, need to maybe ask more questions, need to give more support to fellow candidates that might be in a vulnerable position, and not assume that things are just okay. It's more about taking a more active role in that whole process. So again, follow it. You follow some of the industry leaders in the Finger Lakes, and you'll probably see posts about this New York Times article. And if you see news and things in the wine world, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. I might have seen it already, but maybe not. And love to hear your perspective on things that you hear in the news, both good news and in this case, very sobering news. You can reach me anytime. Email me, michael@saverlife.com. We will be back Saturday with gardening, food, and restaurants. And as I said on the shows yesterday, please vote. This is, I believe, for me, the most important vote that I will put in the ballot box in my lifetime. And the way for the coronavirus to be spreading as quickly as it is, and for Trump to be claiming victory, is a sign of how corrupt he is, because his claim of victory is going to cause the deaths of many thousands of people, because they listen to him and they think that we've beaten this, and they don't need to wear masks, they don't need to be careful, we've turned the corner, and he's lying to try to get elected. There's no other way to put it. And I think he should be criminally liable for lying like this in the face of a pandemic. It's unconscionable, and I don't know if it's illegal, but it should be, because it is very clear that we have not beaten this pandemic. In fact, the opposite is true, which is often the case with what he says. The opposite is true. We are in a worse place than perhaps, or at least many, many states are, than we have been at any point in this pandemic so far. And that is not a victory. That's in no manner or form is that a victory. So vote on Tuesday, or drop your ballot off beforehand. Don't put it in the mail. And encourage family and friends around the United States to vote. There are other states where the vote will be closer. And the only way to keep this president from, and he will claim victory on Tuesday, even if he's losing in every single state, he will claim victory. Just the way he claimed that there were 2 or 3 million voters that were bussed into New Hampshire in 2016. He actually set up a presidential commission to study that. A presidential commission, but he set up a commission to spend money and study that. It would have taken 33,000 buses to transport those people to New Hampshire, those 2 or 3 million. I mean, that's how ridiculous those claims were. And yet we spent public money studying that. Of course, they found nothing. But this is the nightmare we have to put an end to, and that happens Tuesday with your vote. We'll be back next Saturday, 9 a.m. with Naturally Green. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com.